Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by SuperValu Insurance, looking out for you and yours with our new life and mortgage protection insurance.
Well, 10 years ago, two actors and a director got together to present a play in Bewley's Theatre. Emmett Kerwin wrote Dublin Old School and acted in it along with Ian Lloyd Anderson, and their good friend Philip McMahon directed it. Well, the play went on to huge success in Dublin, Edinburgh and London. And 10 years later, the trio are coming back with Dublin Old School in the Olympia. Ian is busy in Galway in Marco Rowe's reunion, but Emmett and Philip are here in studio with me this morning. Morning to you both.
Hello, hello.
Morning.
Yeah, you're great guests because I couldn't stop you chatting earlier. So I'm looking forward to a chat. Listen, you're going to have to bring me back 10 years ago and the genesis of this play. You two knew each other, I think, from Dublin Youth Theatre. So Emmett, when did you tell Philip you were writing a play?
Myself and Ian got together about 2-3 months before the play was supposed to go on to try and talk about the idea and develop it a little bit. And we were still kind of in the early days, the genesis of it. And we took a coffee break and we met Philly on the street. And he said, and he goes, who's going to direct your show? And I said, I haven't got a director yet. And he goes, I'll direct it.
Angling for jobs.
Yeah, yeah. So he did. And I was like, that's the easiest pitch ever. So he came in and we read a bit for him in the, well, not, you know, the Dublin City Council buildings.
We had no room. There was no, you know, there was no room to work in. And so we were on the street and we had these pages and we went to civic offices, to the amphitheatre outside in the kind of drizzling rain. And we started to read from Emmett's play. And there was just this electricity in the air. And it was like, oh my God, we're onto something very special here. I did not write this play, so I can kind of gas it up. But Emmett has written one of the best plays of the last 20 years in Irish theatre. So to be coming back after 10 years, you know, what other show can you say has stuck around for 10 years? So it's quite amazing.
Yeah, no, it's a great play. For our listeners, tell us briefly about this play.
The play is about a DJ called Jason who's in a kind of arrested development. He's in his early 30s. He's still doing the things that he used to do when he was in his early 20s. And he's on this weekend where things in his life are starting to fall apart. And he happens upon his brother, who he's been estranged from for 3 years. And they reconnect over the course of a weekend where they keep like elastic bands snapping back to each other at different points, and both of them are on a trajectory. One is on the way up, one is on the way down, and it's flipped. And it's this kind of spoken word odyssey through the streets of Dublin. It involves rap, it involves spoken word, it involves, you know, regular kind of theatre scenes between two brothers, and it's an out and out, even though it's a dramedy, it's an out and out comedy.
And it's really physical, Philip, really energetic, isn't it? And as you were saying, it's very funny too, but it kind of grew by word of mouth. Why do you think it struck such a chord with people?
I think there's like a few times in your career, there are plays that the city takes to heart, right? And this is like one of them. You know, we've been lucky, myself and Emmett, together a lot of time. We made Alice in Wonderland together at the Abbey and Riot, and these are plays that people really take to heart. And Dublin Old School just hit a moment, but there's something very special about Emmett and Ian performing it. For anyone that's seen the film of Dublin Old School, we have some of the best Irish talent in that, right? Sarah Green, Shauna Kerslake, Mark O'Halloran. Yeah. But all of those characters, Emmett and Ian play on stage. So they paint all of these worlds between them. And so what you're seeing is a masterclass in acting, as well as the funnest night out you've ever seen, as well as talking about Dublin City and like talking about, you know, there's a thread of like nighttime culture closing down, nightclubs closing down, all of that kind of thing. So there's a lot going on. And I think for an audience, people are tuning in on different frequencies and a lot of frequencies.
So when you came now to do it again, when you had to kind of dust it off, did you have to change much, Emmett, or not?
No, it didn't change anything. And I think we're purposely not changing anything because the piece is very much about the city at a particular time. So it acts as a time capsule about things that were in that time and things that have gone and how the city has changed a lot. It's very physical, as you know, you said yourself. So I've had to essentially get the skipping rope out again. And I've been cutting down the calories. So I've been, you know, in training essentially to do it because it's kind of almost an athletic feat. And Ian is as well. Like Ian plays 25 characters, as Philly was saying. Yeah. And I play about 4. But both of us have to, you know, expend a tremendous amount of energy bopping around the stage. So nothing's been changed. And that's a good thing, but it also means that physically we have to almost give it more, you know.
But some of the issues you were writing about, I suppose, 10 years ago, have those things changed in the intervening years? I mean, are they better, or are they worse?
No, they've exacerbated. They're 10x. When I wrote the play in 2004, the homelessness crisis was at about 2,500. That's only the official numbers. It doesn't actually say how many people are sleeping on couches, how many families are living in box rooms with their grandparents. It is now, it's gone past 13,000. There was, I think we were talking about this, Dublin has changed fundamentally as a city. There was a nightlife there where there was nearly 90 clubs. There is now less than 10. Mm-hmm. And I think in every county in Ireland, there's less than one nightclub, or there's just one nightclub in most counties. So the nightlife has changed, the social situation has changed. Drug addiction, which we touch on in this, has also exploded, as you can see, throughout Dublin. So those problems that were not in they weren't small at the time, they were enough to overwhelm systems, they are now overwhelming systems in a far greater way.
And just to pick up on the nightclub thread, because people might go like, who cares? Who cares that there's no nightclubs? But cities are about, cities have to be living, breathing things, right? And so the reason cities become antisocial is because there's nobody there. So young people can't afford to go for a drink in Dublin city centre. There's no nightclubs for young people to expend all of that energy, get like, you know, the joy of dancing together, the euphoric atmosphere of like communal dancing. That doesn't exist. So like people are reverting, like, so people are on Twitter, they're on Instagram, you know? And so like actually, and then tourists don't have anywhere to go. So you go, oh, well, let's build another hotel, but there's nothing to do. And so there's this kind of nightlife culture that needs to be re-injected into Dublin. And it's possible. It's not all doom and gloom, right? We have to have optimism about, like, we have to come together as creatives, as active citizens, and dream up the Dublin that we want to live in.
Which is really interesting. What do you both make, I suppose, of the narrative, though, that Dublin, it can be very hostile, both day and night? Some people just don't like going into the city centre anymore. I mean, that's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, as Philly said, public spaces need to be retaken, and active citizenry of retaking those spaces, filling them with culture, filling them with things to do. People need to live in it. That's quite tough as well. It's not the citizen's job to essentially take on antisocial behaviour in any kind of way, shape or form. But city spaces needed to be used. I think the reduction of traffic in the city would be a huge thing. I think opening up spaces for artists to use. And what happens is, as happened and is evidenced by cities like Berlin, when you have artists that take over a space, they then become cultural hotspots, and that becomes part of the experience culture that tourists want to come see. But if the artists are removed from those spaces, as has happened with places like Temple Bar, then they just become about O'Carroll's gift shops, and there is no culture there. There's no focal point for people to come see, and there's nothing there for people to come and gravitate towards.
Two kind of beacons of hope in the city is Capel Street and Drury Street, right? If you see any images coming through, pedestrianised streets, people can sit on a curb with a glass of wine, meet with friends. It's a gorgeous, like, Dublin in the summer, there's nowhere like it. And we have to be promoting, you know, we need more places to sit in the city. We need, you know, we just need to kind of build the city that we want to kind of hang around in.
Have you both changed a lot in the 10 years? I mean, Emmett, you're a dad now.
Yeah.
Life's changed a good bit.
I woke up with a creak in my neck this morning. So, I had to do some stretches. I woke up with a 2-year-old finger in my mouth.
Yeah.
My life has fundamentally changed. And I am a very different person. You know, people say people don't change. It's like, I hope I have, you know. So things have moved on and changed, fundamentally, I think.
And for you, Phil?
Yeah, I think we all feel a bit more grounded in life, you know.
Yeah.
And the lovely thing about coming back together, because myself, Emmett and Ian are great friends. Yeah. We don't see each other a whole lot. And then when you get together, it's kind of old buddies. But the lovely thing coming back after 10 years is that we all get to celebrate each other's successes over the last 10 years. And anyone that hangs around in the arts, anyone that sticks it out in theatre, so we're kind of veterans at this point. Mm. And like, we've really made something of it, the three of us, and there's a lot to celebrate.
Yeah, and your friendship is fantastic. And Dublin Old School, I mean, it's been good to all three of you. Has it been a good calling card down the years?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in terms of when you write anything, if it has a cultural impact, it can put you on the map in terms of the chosen profession that you want to do. So I really wanted to write plays and write more plays and make more theatre. So as a first play that's been professionally produced for me, it's been, you know, monumental. It's really changed my life in many ways.
Yeah, something really unexpected happened with this play, right? We started in Bewley's Cafe Theatre, like a gorgeous venue. We were playing to 50 people, and it just grew this head of steam. And so we went to Project Arts Centre, and they brought us to Edinburgh Fringe. And from there, the National Theatre in the UK picked up Dublin Old School. It's like, okay, what's the connection here? And then suddenly we're playing to thousands of people, sold out season on the South Bank. And there was just this amazing electricity in the air, which was mostly Irish diaspora, right? Going like looking to plug into Dublin on the South Bank of London. And then season ticket holders at the National Theatre kind of scratching their head, going like, what am I at?
The Saturday night in the National, the last night, a load of Irish people showed up, and the Dorfman Theatre is this kind of like a spaceship. It's really high tech, and there's three balconies all the way up. So when you're on stage, there's a line in it that says, speaking to all the children of the Gaels, and this is the National Theatre. All you hear is about 100 Irish people go, you know, shouting out. So I think there was a few monocles falling out of their eyes, you know, people looking up going, the Irish are in, what the hell, you know. So it was a really amazing moment. You know, you live for those kind of moments because they are ephemeral. They exist for that moment in time and then they're gone. So to be on stage in front of like 500, you know, mainly Irish people in London's West End was amazing.
Fantastic. Why are you only doing two nights at the moment, September the 4th? Are you going to wait and see?
That's just a logistical thing. That's just the Olympics booked out.
Yeah, yeah.
2 years in advance.
Getting this team together, given how busy everybody is, was one thing. And then the Olympia said, look, the people at the Olympia said, look, please come and do this, but we only have these nights or whatever. So this is, you know, it's a see it or miss it.
Yeah, this is it. And yeah, we want to see, and obviously we'd like to do more, but this might be your only chance because it is booked out for years in advance.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, I'd say both of your performances will be booked out. In terms of the arts, you were talking about the little earlier, Philip, you know, in Ireland, over the 10 years when you began Dublin Old School, is it thriving at the moment? Is it easier and more successful, do you think, now than it was 10 years ago? Has it changed?
I preface that by saying the time that we're in, the very kind of polarizing, divisive time that we're in Ireland and globally, right? The theatre offers this amazing invitation, which is to get offline, to come into a civic space together, have this kind of communal moment and look at the world through somebody else's eyes, right? That's what the artists invite you to do. Like, come step into my shoes for 2 hours and see what the world looks like, right? So it's an amazing analog invitation, right? So I think we can all agree that, like, this is something we all need. I feel hugely optimistic about the arts, or else I wouldn't be able to go on. We have an arts minister that really gets it.
Yeah.
We have seen an increase in funding. We've seen the basic income scheme for artists, and it's been a huge success, and I hope that it's rolled out more and expanded. But the cost of everything, the cost of living for artists are having to leave Dublin. So if you're hiring an actor, you're now bringing them from, you know, wherever they've moved to, sometimes abroad. So the cost of everything has increased, and the Arts Council need much more money from the government. That's just the truth. And if you want the Abbey, the Gate, and all of the kind of pillars of Irish theatre to continue, everywhere needs more money. But that's probably across society. So we're hopeful.
Which is always great.
Yes.
One of our listeners says, good to hear Philip and Emmett's take on Dublin. Emmett's work has always reflected our communities, properly reflected them. That's really nice.
Yeah, thank you. Well, tell that person that said that. That's a really nice thing.
Yeah, and that's important to you, isn't it? That you do reflect it honestly and correctly.
Yeah, I think I wrote a show for RTÉ a few years ago called Sarah and Steve, and one of the things, it was actually a criticism that was levied towards it, that it wasn't funny enough because it didn't deal with the specific type of character. But I was very much concerned about representing people from that area as they were normal, you know, and as opposed to abnormal and something that's stereotypical. So I've always tried with any play that I've written to make sure that it's a true reflection of the characters and the people that live there and their experiences.
Well, look, Emmett and Philip, thank you both for coming in this morning to chat to me. Dublin Old School, it's in the 3 Olympia on September the 4th and 5th. Tickets available now from 3olympia.ie. It's fantastic. Everyone should go see it.